supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salamun alaikum. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. On today's special, we speak about Islamic parenting. Today is Friday, the 7th of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Ordibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of April, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter An-Nahl, verses 58 to 59. And then the important points of it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم.
And when one of them is informed of the birth of a female, his face becomes dark and he suppresses grief. He hides himself from the people because of the ill of which he has been informed. Should he keep it in humiliation or bury it in the ground? Unquestionably, evil is what they decide.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In a tradition from the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, we read that he says, "What a nice child a parent's daughter is. She's affectionate and of great help. She is one's companion and she is clean while cleaning at the same time." In fact, such respect shown towards the personality of women has served as a cause for their liberation in the society and has put an end to the era of servitude and slavery of women. However, it is most unfortunate that in some Islamic societies there are still those forms of ignorant thought prevalent, and there are still a good number of families who rejoice in having sons born to them and are disturbed by having daughters.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
Now, what Islamic parenting says. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family said, "Every one of you is a guardian over his dependents and is responsible for the action of those persons who are dependent on him." Children, no doubt, are a blessing of Allah the Almighty. From time a baby is conceived, we start planning ahead for their future, and the joy that comes with its arrival has no bounds. The love for our child in our hearts is something so natural, and it comes with no strings attached. But we must remember that children are an aman, our trustee, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we have certain duties and responsibilities towards them, and Allah the Almighty, for He is the one who blessed us with them in the first place. Allah mentioned wealth and children together many a time in the Quran. Both wealth and children is a test to us, to test how we deal with this blessing.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Islamic parenting of children comprises of three things: tarbiyah, ta'deeb, and ta'aleem. That is upbringing, politeness, and education and training. If we are righteous, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us with a contented life with a lawful provision. This godly lifestyle is the environment in which we can successfully raise our children. The key to successful Islamic parenting is to have a noble character. How we are is how our children will become. The model, they model their behavior after us. What is a noble character? Do we have belief in our heart, and does it manifest itself in our outward actions? Are we charitable, and do our children see our prayer, our giving zakat, and fulfill our promises? Are we patient at all times, and especially with them? These are some things that we need to work on. Fourth key to Islamic parenting success is to have love and mercy between us and our spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put love and mercy between us. And are our children a witness to it? It is this love and mercy that will affect how they will in turn treat another later in life. The last key to successful Islamic parenting is having good companions. Your friends influence your lifestyle, and your lifestyle affects how your children are being raised. Therefore, have righteous friends and companions. Hang out with learned people if you can. Invite scholars, ulamas, and righteous people as guests to our place, to our home. All these things have an influence on what our child sees, learn, and do. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special on how to give unconditional love when you're angry. Patience is not something that we're just born with. It's something that you have to work at. And in the Arabic language, they give the synonymous for patience as restrain and bracing oneself, holding yourself back, and holding yourself back. When you're angry, you have to practice patience. Hold yourself back from acting or saying. That's the best form of love you can show. One way of extinguishing your anger is to tell yourself that your child is a loving, amazing child at the very moment when you're feeling that anger. These words have the effect of water on fire over your mind. And if they don't extinguish the anger immediately, then keep saying this to yourself. Psychologically, you're talking yourself out of a negative mind frame into a positive one. Trust me, it's not easy, but inshallah, if you persist, it will work. What are today's tips for positive parenting? One of them is be loving yet firm. We must love them, love children with our words, cuddles and kisses, but keep a firm tone when we need them to listen to us while disciplining them. Let's keep our word and be consistent and firm. If they do something wrong, let's not protect them from facing consequences. All big crimes start like this. Love them at all times, but do not protect them from the consequences of their mistakes. Sometimes we need to be cruel to be kind. Let's do what is best for the children and not worry about what they think of us today. What is important is what they will think of us 10 years later.
So, parenting is not an easy task. And it's a constant challenge. It's a constant challenge. You might see someone, he's on the right path, she's on the right path. But because of their children And it's only natural. Your children, our children, they're the closest things to us. Our hearts are attached to them. Sometimes some people, they see their children hurt, their children struggling, they go and they do haram in order to please their children. Or they go and they do something that brings them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a challenge. And it's a challenge that has repercussions in this life and in the afterlife. And the repercussions, they could be both sides, either good or bad. If you have good children, if you have pious, righteous children, you will benefit from those children even after you have died. Even after you have left this life. And this is a hadith from the Imams, from Rasulullah. It says that this person died, and this person was not very righteous. But then, because of their children, they did sadaqah, they did good, they prayed on behalf of their parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes that person. Allah changes. This person is suffering in their death, but because of the actions of their children, it changes. And that person, the suffering is lifted from that person. So we see that it's a challenge. And it has repercussions in this life and in the afterlife. So it's a difficult challenge. It's a very difficult challenge that we have to be very careful with. And today we see, if you read the statistics, you hear about the challenges that many of the youth are falling in. You read the news, you hear of the drugs, you hear of the crimes, you hear of the suicide rate within the youth. And it's not something, it's not a challenge that we only hear about in outside communities.
Thank you very much for listening to us. That was today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and let us listen to a famous statement from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding his loyal wife, the mother of all true believers, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khadija, peace be upon her. Khadija outclassed all other ladies in the world in her belief in God and in the Messenger of God.
Take pieces of bread from me.
and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about friendship, and it is about why it's necessary for us to inform our friend that we are fond of them and that they are really our friend and that we like them. This is important. You know, we all know that friendship is very important, and it is one of those things that helps our personality to form. You know, they have a great effect upon us. You know, even more than our parents do, sometimes even more than our, you know, siblings do, our friends, they have a very important effect upon us, and they help our personalities form. And they also play a role in the determination of our felicity in this world and in the hereafter. For example, in the Holy Quran, we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he quotes a person in the hereafter saying, "Woe to me, I wish that I had not taken such and such a person as a friend. He misguided me from the right path after I had been guided to it." Right, so friends are very necessary, and you know, it's important to have good friends and to, you know, adopt good friends. One of the things that is very important is that we have a friend, we should tell him that we are fond of them. If we have a, you know, a brother in faith, we should inform them, we should tell them that, hey, I like you, you're my friend, you're my brother, I love you. Right? This is very important. This is one of the things that help increase the you know, the depth of our friendship with them, and it helps it continue. For example, in this hadith, this matter has been mentioned by Imam Baqir. In the very famous book of Hadith Biharul Anwar of Allama Majlisi, it's been related that a man passed through the mosque. He was passing through the mosque where Abu Ja'far and Abu Abdullah, meaning Imam Baqir alayhi salam and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, they were seated in the mosque. This person was passing through the mosque. When one of the people was also present in the mosque, and he saw this person passing and said, "By Allah," he swore to Allah, saying, "I like this man, I'm fond of this man. Okay? This person is my friend." Imam Baqir alayhi salam turned to this person who said this and said, "Then let him know For verily, this will help maintain the amity between you, meaning it will help the friendship and amity between you. It will help it continue, and it will enhance the affection between the two. It's a little easier for women than it is for men. It's like kind of hard for men, you know, when they're friends with one another to express their emotions. But if, you know, this is one of the parts of our religion, and it's very, you know, important to do so. In a similar hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad has been reported to have said, "When one of you likes his companion or brother, he should let them know." Should let them know that he likes them. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at informing one's brother of one's love for them in the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again, alhamdulillah, with brothers Ali Nasir, Sayyid Ali Nasir, Hassan Asrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Fawad Haider. Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. How are you?
Fine, sir.
Fine, inshallah, Fawad.
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, Hussein Ruhullah?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Everyone is fine. Dear listeners, we hope, inshallah, you are fine as well. We'll talk about Ayah 81 on Surah Ali Imran, right? On page 60. And we really ask our brothers and sisters, those who have Quran with themselves, please turn to page 60. Ayah 81 of Surah Ali Imran. Everyone, once let's listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idh akhadha Allahu mithaqan nabiyyina lama ataytukum min kitabin wa hikmah ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين.
Nice recitation, alhamdulillah. I really liked it. How about you?
Yes.
Do you want to recite the Quran that way? Brothers and sisters, if you want to recite the Quran that way with tajweed rules, stay with us till the end of this session. Inshallah, this I will practice the tajweed rules as well, okay? And inshallah, we'll do the recitation all together. Yes, Fawad?
Yes.
Okay. So, Now I will read it once, okay? Then explain it a bit. Inshallah, we'll move on then. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين. So Allah Almighty says in this ayah that when Allah took a compact concerning, compact means a covenant, okay? عهد, ميثاق. In Persian we call it payman, okay? Payman. When Allah Almighty took a compact concerning the prophets, He said, inasmuch as I have given you of the book and wisdom, okay, should an apostle, if an apostle come to you, a messenger come to you thereafter, confirming what is with you, you shall believe in him and help him. He said, do you pledge and accept my covenant on this condition? Well, Allah Almighty said to the prophets, okay? The prophets said, they said, we pledge, we accept it. Then Allah Almighty said, then be witnesses. And I am also among the witnesses. قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا And then Allah Almighty said, then be witnesses. And I am also among the witnesses along with you. So, this ayah gives us an important thing to learn, okay? Look, guys, suppose there are many teachers, five teachers, right? Five teachers are there who want to teach something, okay? Who want to teach, for example, they want to teach math. Will they all have the same teaching skill?
No.
Will they all have the same lesson plan?
No.
No. They will have different lesson plans.
Yeah.
So I have my own lesson plan, that teacher has his own lesson plan, the other one has his own lesson plan, okay? And they will move on based on their own lesson plans, okay? So Mr., for example, Ali does not come to me and ask me for my lesson plan and move on based on my lesson plan, yes? He has his own lesson plan, yes?
Yes.
So they are different. Okay, they have different thoughts, they have different beliefs, okay, they have different lesson plans, schedules. So, that's it. But when you say, when it comes to, listen, when it comes to the prophets, okay, the prophets, 124,000 prophets, all of them had the same lesson plan, one lesson plan. And that was the lesson plan that Allah Almighty had given them. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابِ وَحِكْمَةٍ Okay? ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ So, all prophets, this is the lesson plan I give you, okay? This is the lesson plan I give you. And this is what you have to tell the people, okay? That you should invite them towards me and make them worship, help them, guide them, okay, to the right path. So, do not lead them astray, God forbid, okay? So, you have a very difficult responsibility. Do you accept it or no? On these conditions? The Prophet said, yes, we accept. Right? In dua nudbah, we also have وَعَلِمْتُمُ الْوَفَاءَ وَعَلِمْتُمُ مِنْهُمُ الْوَفَاءَ بِهِ Yes? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Allah may is in that dua we have that Imam alayhi salam says that when you were about to appoint prophets, okay, you knew whom to appoint because you knew who will be loyal, who will accept this responsibility. That's why you accepted them. Allah Almighty does not appoint anyone as prophet.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now we'll move on to the tajweeduls. We are about to run out of time. Before we run out of time, let's do the tajweeduls inshallah and practice. Some of the very important ones we'll mention because this ayah is a bit longer and we won't be able to fulfill all the tajweed rules, the important ones. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ ذَال and ثَ, the pronunciation, make sure. Then the next pronunciation is حَ, فَاد. Am I right? حَ وَحِكْمَةٍ. Yes?
Yes.
ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ صَاد مَعَكُمْ عَيْن. Yes? تَنْصُرُنَّهُ صَاد as well. And isri, and that's all. Shahidin ha. So fashhadu ha. These letters are important, and kha as well. Wa akhad kha. Okay, make sure you pronounce them correctly. Now some of the tajweed rules. Wa idh akhad Allahu, the letter lam in the word Allah, since it has a fatha before, it should be pronounced
heavily.
Allahu, not Allahum. Mithaq al nabiyyin nun mushaddat. Two counts. مثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم. The mad is not wajib since the alif mad and hamza are in separate words. Yes, in two different words. That's why it's not wajib. آتيتكم ميم ساكن plus ميم إدغام. For what is best to say this?
إدغام مثلين.
إدغام مثلين. Yes. So you merge them and prolong the sound for two counts. أتيتكم من كتاب من. Yeah, nun ساكن plus كاف إخفاء. Hide the sound. And كتاب plus واو. كتابي merge them. كتابي وحكمة ثم. حكمة تنوين plus ثا. Hide the sound. ثم. Yeah, من مشدد. جاءكم. Mad is wajib. Hamza and alif mad are in the same word, in the word ja'a. Rasulum musaddiqun, again idgham. Musaddiqun lima idgham, again. Ma'akum latu'minun, again idgham. Bihi, straight the sound a bit. Walatansurunnahu idgham, sorry, ikhfa, hide the sound of nun. Tansurunnahu, nun mushaddad, again. Hu, when you stop, latansurunnah. Jim tells you it is
jaiz
to stop. Qala aqarartum aqarartum. Qaf produces a bouncing sound. Yes?
Yes.
Wa akhadhtum akhadhtum. Kha has a heavy sound. Ala dhalikum isri. Sila tells you, Hassan?
Better to continue.
Better to continue, but still you can stop here. Qalu أَقْرَرْنَا. Ra has a heavy sound. You can stop here, Jais. You can continue. قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. أَنَا, if you stop here at this word, أَنَا, that tiny W, O, sorry, on the top of Alif tells you, if you stop here, you stretch the sound. Read that Alif. وَأَنَا. But if you continue, do not read that. وَأَنَا.
Skip that.
Okay? That is the rule. وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. That the rule of how to stop, how to continue, how to read, okay? It says that rule. Thank you so much. We mentioned now the important ones. Now I will read once, okay? Quickly we'll recite all together. Then the session is over. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ.
أحسنتم. من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا
قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا
قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين
قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Allah bless you, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, we practice Alhamdulillah's ayah with tajweed rules. Inshallah, we hope you've learned something. Thank you so much for being with us and listening to IRIB English Radio. We really recommend you stay with us. Inshallah. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir Fawad, thank you so much. Any questions?
No,
nothing.
Sir.
Allah bless you, inshallah. See you in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din wal-Arab, ghayr din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
La ilaha illallah.
We are going to talk about three types of blood discharge. Well, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, hosting this program. Well, and Sheikh Tawhid, our guest speaker, we are still talking about the different kinds of blood discharge experienced by the ladies. Sheikh Tawhid, you know, you quickly pointed out some of the different kinds of blood discharge. But let's focus on the different kinds or types of istihada blood, right?
Yes.
Would you elaborate on each one of them? And then in the middle, I might ask you some questions related to the laws applicable to the women experiencing that kind of blood discharge.
You're right. Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
There are three, as I said, there are three kinds of istihaza: the slight or qalila istihaza, medium istihaza, which is called mutawassita, and then we have the excessive istihaza, which is called kasira istihaza. But when it comes to little istihaza, of course, if the blood remains on the surface of the pad and it does not penetrate into it, it's called, qalila or little istihaza. Or you can call it slight istihaza.
Mm-hmm.
So istihaza, as we said, is the irregular blood discharge which a woman experiences or might experience because it comes off and on and it's not predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is such blood, then the woman should understand the rules and regulate the rules and must act according to it. Now, if the blood is very little, and it appears on the surface of the pad the woman usually wears, then she should make one wudu for each prayer, and there should not be any gap between the wudu and the prayer.
Is this the only way that a woman can ascertain this is, for example, the slight or little istihada she's experiencing?
I suppose there's no other way,
measure,
and there's no other way to ascertain that it is little or excessive or medium.
Mm-hmm, okay, I see.
And this is a very easy standard.
I see.
And but then again, I myself believe there's going to be confusion, because it depends on the lady when she changes her pad and when she doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it takes long time for the woman to change her pad,
mm-hmm,
then how can you ascertain that it's little or, you know,
medium, for example,
medium, of
as
course,
as you said, yeah.
But okay, the woman, the religious authority has not said anything with regard to changing the pad very quickly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is supposed to change her pad each time she performs,
yes,
the prayer. And she's not going to change it every 1 hour, okay? Each time she wants to make wudu or perform ghusl, she is going to change, because she cannot perform prayer with the blood stained, with the pad which is stained with blood.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I understand part of the reason why they didn't mention the changing of the pad as one of the, for example, a standard.
Yes.
To find out or discover whether this is little istihaza or any other type of, for example, istihada and blood discharge,
yes,
is that the way I understand it is because some women are, more sensitive than other people, because they are, for example, they like to change their pad sooner than the other women.
Yes.
So because they feel, somehow repugnant with,
you're right,
the blood discharge. So yes, they might, in fact, change it sooner than their friends. All right.
You're right.
So that might not be a good standard, actually. Right.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, because just as you rightly mentioned, some ladies are very much scrupulous. Some of them are very much obsessive. And we don't look at the obsession, you know, obsessiveness is not a good standard at all.
Yes.
You know, the religion always encourages ladies not to be obsessive, not to be very much particular with regards to the blood.
But health is another issue,
yes,
then.
Then we have to...
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me stop you there, actually, to take a short break. And then we'll be back and continue with the questions here in the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English,
sure,
Radio. So don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the different kinds of blood discharge experienced by the women. Sheikh Javid, I asked you before the break about the little istihada, or the different kind of istihada, I should say. So is there anything left related to the little istihada?
I think that's enough, because we should, we should explain the other types.
Okay. And what about the medium,
enough,
then?
Yes. The medium istihaza, if the blood penetrates into the cotton or the pad, you know, even partially, but does not soak the cloth tied to the outer side, okay? The istihaza is called, in this case, mutawasita. So
mm-hmm,
the blood penetrates.
Right.
But it does not soak the the surface
or the fabric of the
pad or the cotton, whatever. So it just penetrates. In the in this case, the blood discharge is considered to be mutawassita or medium istihaza. So what are
what about the rules?
Yeah, the rules. What is a woman in the state of medium istihaza supposed to do? She has to perform two ghusl, one in the morning, another in the evening. So when it comes to the morning prayer, of course, when she wakes up in the morning, she should perform ghusl and offer her Fajr prayer or dawn prayer. And then in the evening, she should perform one ghusl in the afternoon and perform the Fajr, close to the Maghrib, okay? Mm-hmm. She should perform, one ghusl in the afternoon, perform the Zuhr, Asr, and then Maghrib and Isha prayers, one after another, they cannot be performed one after another because there is a gap of Maghrib and Isha. So the one ghusl is enough.
Right.
And she has to wait until the time for Maghrib prayer sets in, and then she has to perform the Maghrib and Isha prayers.
That's the rule you said that the istihada women should actually observe. But what about the fasting, for example? Are they allowed to fast?
Why not? Yeah, they should fast. And the fast is not affected by this.
Because we know that menstruating women cannot fast.
Cannot fast, yes. They cannot fast. They cannot do a lot of things, But a menstruating a woman who experiences irregular blood or istihaza blood, she can recite the Holy Quran. She can recite those verses which contain sajda, obligatory sajda. She can enter the mosque. She can go anywhere. And even she can touch the script of the Quran as long as she has made wudu and she is in the state of ritual purity.
Shoshawit, how about the excessive type
excessive
of istihada? Yes.
What
are the rules required and how can we, differentiate it from the other types?
Right. Now, we have already explained and we have mentioned the signs and the qualities of the little and medium istihaza. When it comes to excessive istihaza, which is called kasira, of course, if the blood penetrates through the cotton or the pad, soaking it and the cloth, around it, then the istihaza is called kasira because there is substantial quantity of blood. It has penetrated. And it might sometimes, come out, appear on the other side of the pad. So that's called excessive blood.
Mm-hmm.
And in the event that a woman discharges excessive blood, she has to perform three ghusl, one in the morning, another for the Asr and Maghrib.
Noon
and afternoon prayer. And then another for the Maghrib and Isha prayers. And there should not be any delay or any pause between the noon and afternoon prayer, nor should there be any delay between the Maghrib and Isha. The two prayers should be, for example, performed very quickly, one after another.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman wishes to perform, let's say, qadha prayers or any mustahab prayers, again there should be another ghusl.
Can women in their istihaza, excessive type of istihaza, enter the mosque, for example?
Why not?
Uh-huh.
She can enter the mosque and she can go anywhere. She can do all the halal things.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. So keep us in your duas. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.